You've decided you're ready to become a parent, and suddenly you're overwhelmed with people who feel they have the right to inform you on the correct way to conceive, give birth, what fears you should have, and the proper way to parent. How do you filter through the opinions? How do you know what's trustworthy information and what's a myth or just plain outdated? Welcome to the Birth Ease Podcast. Join your host, Michelle Smith, and her guests as they cut through the noise and fear by sharing valuable tips, tools, and proven methods that help you connect with your own inner wisdom as you navigate the sacred journey that is pregnancy, birth, and parenthood in a more relaxed and confident manner. This podcast does not constitute, nor is it intended, as medical advice.
Hello, Birthies families. Welcome to your reprieve from the noise and the stress that can so often accompany pregnancy, birth, and parenthood. I'm your host, Michelle Smith. On today's podcast, I'm honored to have a conversation with Amy Gendron, acupuncturist physician extraordinaire. We will be discussing the benefits of oriental medicine for women's health, and that includes preconception, fertility, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and beyond. Amy began her journey in holistic health as a personal trainer, mentored by a black belt martial artist. Amy specializes in sports medicine, cosmetic acupuncture, and women's health. She is trained as a doula, and in 2013, she traveled to China and completed an externship which included herbal medicine for women's health with nationally renowned Dr. Choi. Last year, Amy was one of the few American physicians invited to attend a physiological regulating medicine program in Milan, Italy. Amy's approach to healing empowers her patients to live with vitality by integrating the best wellness and medical practices. She works as a specialty physician in several clinics here in Central Florida, and we are very blessed to have her. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here with me. I know what a benefit it makes to my clients when they work with you during their pregnancies or when they want to conceive and even postpartum. So can you give me and the listeners some background on oriental medicine and acupuncture and how it can benefit women and their families?
Sure. So one of the things that I love about oriental medicine, Chinese medicine, is that it was originally designed to be a preventative therapy. So emperors would use it to keep themselves well. In fact, the physicians would only be paid if the emperor was healthy. When he got sick, they wouldn't get paid. They were just expected to take care of the emperor. And I believe that was everybody on the court as well. It was not just the emperor, but that was the main goal. I really like that it's the classic traditional preventative medicine that we know of. And in fact, Chinese medicine is one of many, but you know, there's Ayurveda and other natural healing modalities that truly were meant to keep people well. So with that being said, if we bat into today's culture where we treat illnesses and diagnosis, this is just a different approach to keeping people well instead of treating them as a disease or a number. When I started getting treated with Chinese medicine, I was having horrible menstrual pain, and the treatment for that in allopathic or Western modern medicine is birth control. And regardless of the side effects, you're putting young girls oftentimes, you know, in their first few years of menstruating on hormones. Same thing happens when we go through menopause. We just prescribe hormones now, rather than treating it from the inside out and really treating the whole person, meaning mind, body, and spirit, in these sort of pivotal moments where they come in of age. So they have these transitions through menarche or the onset of menstruation, through becoming mothers, and then through menopause, and we're just hormone treating them rather than treating the transcendent space of their mind in conjunction with their body. That's kind of where I come from in all of this, is that I'm treating the whole person, and I've seen how beautifully it can create a space where these women are in touch with their power and they don't have any of the negative side effects of painful menstruation, even morning sickness or the fear of childbirth or this sort of lost space that they enter into menopause when they really don't have anything to contribute in this culture as it's shaped, you know, in our current model where people retire and they just kind of wither away. There's not these wise elders anymore. I really love the way that Chinese medicine has that space for treating the whole person throughout life.
If someone were wanting to conceive, when would be the best time to come and see you? If they found they were having difficulties, or it sounds like since this is such a holistic model of care, that it's better if they came to see you, even if they didn't have any difficulties conceiving, to help get their body ready and prepared to nourish that baby within them.
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, I feel like everyone should have an acupuncturist in their back pocket, so to speak, where you can address some of these things that are coming up in life that you don't really need a medication for, but someone needs to guide you through it. And that can be the role of a skilled acupuncturist. So I guess the short answer is you should come as early as you think you want to start planning a family, because most women have a strange relationship with their menstrual cycle. And that is the foundation, the backbone, the method at which we start to regulate and prepare for fertility is by working with the menstrual cycle. I always say that if you can tell me what your menstrual cycle looks like, I know everything about you, because it's a very transparent window that can give us a lot of information about a woman's mind and body. And to just ignore that or to just call that PMS is really lacking, in my opinion. And I think that if you just start looking at, you know, maybe you are a little moody before your cycle, that probably means that you've been dealing with that all month long. The veil is just a lot thinner at that time, and your tolerance for such things is a little bit lower. Same thing if somebody comes in and they're extremely exhausted around their cycle. Well, they're probably burning the candle at both ends and need to address that and come from a more balanced position. I do think that people should come in really as early as possible. And like I said, it doesn't even have to be for fertility, but especially for fertility, if they want to come in with the goal of getting pregnant, the sooner the better.
If someone were having difficulty conceiving, how could Oriental medicine benefit them to help increase their chances of conceiving that child?
In a few different ways we can talk about scientifically and confirm through Western research, but I should say that Chinese medicine has tons of research about its validity that has just been excluded from what's accepted here in the United States and in Western culture, really, around most of the world. But with that being said, we can definitely see that Chinese medicine is beneficial in regulating menstrual cycles, which balances the hormones. We can also see that it changes people from being borderline anemic or anemic to being healthy and full of rich blood. A lot of that comes through our herbal medicines. The other thing is taking down the stress. As I mentioned before, with PMS, a lot of people feel like they are a problem. They have PMS. They are irrational. They are all of these things that are difficult to deal with versus they've been overwhelmed and dealing with something all month long, and it's their responsibility to lessen the load, so to speak, to prepare for the next cycle or prepare for conception. There's a lot of different ways in which stress can impact the body. And so that's a very common thing that people report after having acupuncture, is just how much more relaxed they feel. Sometimes it's joked as the acu high when they leave the office, because there's an endorphin release, which are your feel-good hormones. And you don't have to exercise to do it. It was just induced by the treatment. The other thing is that the immune system is stimulated by acupuncture. So if your body's sick, it's telling your reproductive system it is not a time to procreate because it's not a safe environment. So by stimulating the immune system and having a balancing effect on that, somebody is much more likely to be receptive to getting pregnant. So stress, the blood quality, and the immune system are three major areas that we can help in.
Well, I know just from my background as a hypnotherapist, working with fertility, stress reduction is huge in conceiving, because you're right. So often it tells our body, now's not a good time to conceive a child. And the body responds accordingly. So once someone's pregnant, when do you recommend that they see an acupuncture physician or a doctor of oriental medicine? I know some acupuncturist physicians don't want to work with pregnant women, and I'm wondering if you could clarify some of that for us.
Sure. That just really comes down to fear and lack of training. Most of the acupuncturists, through their education, could work with pregnancy, fertility, labor, delivery, and so on. It takes a little bit of extra work to really understand the complexities of those situations. I feel 100% comfortable working in them because I also trained as a doula and because I have people like you in my back pocket. So if I need support through something, I know who to call for that. And I've done a lot of research and working with other people who have braved these waters and have great results working with women. And the women are eternally grateful. They have wonderful birth experiences, and bringing more women into this space where they can truly have the experience that they're looking for and or cope with what has occurred.
So is there a particular point in pregnancy that you would like someone to come see you ideally?
Ideally, it would be probably a year before. If they're pregnant and the minute they find out, I'd like to see them, because even if you're planning a pregnancy, there are so many things that happen to a woman's psyche when she finally is. It's a little bit of fear. It's a little bit of angst. It's a little bit of excitement. There's a lot of things that could really go wrong in a very delicate period of time of that first trimester. You know, morning sickness is simply that. Your body is hypersensitive to your surroundings and protecting what's happening inside. But at the same time, it's seen as, forgive me for saying this, but like a parasite that the body is trying to purge. And so it's a delicate window. If anything disrupts that woman's balance, she's in jeopardy of losing that baby, which can be very, very difficult to overcome. And I've seen women really have to struggle, even in subsequent pregnancies, if they've had a loss, when they reach that window where they've lost the previous one, or there's a lot of fear. And I should say, it's not just the women. I've seen a lot of very upset, angry, and helpless feeling fathers because there's no real support for them either. And one of the most beautiful things is when I can work with both, you know, man and woman in that, because again, there isn't a lot of support for the whole unit as a family.
So do you feel that oriental medicine can be beneficial to women if they are experiencing morning sickness? And I know it can help through the grief and loss, and that's another subject that we'll delve into at another time. But do you feel like it can help mitigate those pregnancy symptoms and make it an easier transition for women? Because pregnancy is a huge, huge transition.
I've seen a lot of women benefit from different therapies in conjunction with different foods. It's a very unique situation for every single woman. So yes, I have seen it work nicely for morning sickness. But again, every woman's struggle with that is unique to them. So for some, it's truly their environment is making them sick. And for others, it's what's going on in between their ears that's making them sick. The one thing that I can say is that no matter what, when they come in and have a treatment with me, they will be supported and they will be heard. And I will stop at nothing to find the right food, the right botanical that can support them through that phase. So there's a lot of tools at our discretion. It's just a matter of finding the right one and having her be able to make the modifications in her lifestyle that will support her.
Usually in the second trimester, women feel better and stronger in their pregnancy. The third trimester, women start to slow down, feel more sluggish, feel heavy. They're very pregnant at that point. They can encounter swelling, and some women develop preeclampsic symptoms, high blood pressure. Are these things that you would be able to help with in some capacity?
Absolutely. And yes, during the second trimester, if a woman's doing well and truly, you know, having a pleasant experience all around, we start to space out treatments for the women who kind of sign on for the whole pregnancy care plan, so to speak. So it's usually like once a month that I'll see somebody through that time. And there might be heartburn or something else, hemorrhoids, who knows what, all kinds of little things that pop in just the day-to-day stressors that we help with. In the third trimester, yes, things start to take a dramatic turn in preparing for a healthy labor and delivery. And depending on the time of year, there's special complications here in Florida. Somebody in their third trimester and it's in the summer, it is hot and damp, and you bet they're swollen. Even people with healthy metabolism who exercise, drink plenty of fluid, they do all the right things. We're just managing the elements with their body. So yes, I've seen a lot of people really benefit. We can do a little bit of cupping, which helps tremendously in the swelling, easing some of the pain around joints that the swelling creates. There's also, like you mentioned, high blood pressure and the preeclampsia symptoms. Again, stress is a major component in that, but also optimizing circulation and keeping their diet healthy, and just all the different ways in which we support these women really compound to give them a pathologically free experience. So they don't suffer from those complications. They just maybe have to manage a swelling or something like that. And they typically notice it with their movement or what they're eating, or if they work too much. A lot of women, if they have to fly, that's a really difficult challenge on the system, especially when you're in the third trimester. So just lots of factors to consider, but yes, there is support for it.
So once someone is nearing the time to go into labor, are there things you can do to help support the birth and to make it more efficient and an easier labor?
When it's time to switch from yin, which is this very growth, reproduction, development, it's this very yin state where you're developing and growing and nurturing the child within, labor goes into yang, and that is active. It requires physicality, it's movement, it's outward expression. It's a difficult transition because women, even if they've had a difficult pregnancy, have come to be attached to that bond, that intimate connection between them and their child, safe there. There's a lot of unknowns. Will I be a good mother? Is this labor going to be okay? How is this going to change my relationship? There's a lot of things, but this is one of my favorite times to work with women, because when they're ready and they want to give birth, first of all, everything's on the table. There's not a point that they're going to squirm with. They let you do whatever you need to do to stimulate uterine contractions or to open up the hips. It's just a really, they're a great candidate for acupuncture because they know what they want. They're very driven. They're focused. I really like that, because when somebody comes in and they're reluctant and they want you to alleviate something going on in their body, but they're, I don't know about this. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with doing that. It's a little bit challenging because you're having to convince somebody. So that trusting space is really lovely. And in childbirth, acupuncture is really great. I've worked beautifully with a lot of women in that space. And, you know, sometimes they'll stall out. They fatigue. Sometimes there's back labor pain. There's all these different periods where women need support. And again, in allopathic medicine, there's not much you can do for that other than numb and drug to take away pain, rather than going, okay, well, why, where, what is this pain all about?
Oftentimes, women will hear that seeing an acupuncturist physician can help get them into labor. To me, in my experience as a childbirth educator and a doula, sometimes they like to wait till the last minute. And I try to explain to them that it's kind of as if you're trying to push a big truck up a hill and try to get it back down to the other side. And if you can start to push the truck up and then have it there almost to the top, and if you need to give it a nudge to get it to go downhill, it's a much easier process than trying to start at the bottom, get the truck up the hill to get it down to the other side. I'm wondering your thoughts on that. Would that be an accurate description of the process? Because going in at, and you're going to be induced in 2 days, doesn't really give you time to work with a body, I would imagine.
Yes, 100%. I've seen some beautiful things happen even when people come in 2 days before an induction, just because, again, they need to be heard and the space allows that. But there's a lot of rapport and trust that needs to be established for me to facilitate such a treatment. Most likely, you're not going to get there in one session. The other thing is my knowledge of your history comes into play. So how have you historically been about opening up and letting go and allowing your body to kind of take the lead and your mind take a back seat? And how good are you at navigating the stressors in your environment? As loving as family members want to be during labor and even medical professionals, as much as they want to support you, they're trying to offer solutions. And sometimes those solutions take you out of your zone and put you into a space where you're just trying to kind of retreat. The last thing you need to do in labor is retreat. You need to open up and allow. I would say, again, if I could see you before you even want to get pregnant, my whole thing is I don't ever want to waste my time or somebody else's time. So it's not like I just get addicted to working vicariously through these pregnant women or something. It's that I truly want to help them with their process and help them understand their process. So the minute I can space out treatments and let your body go through it as is and get you in touch with what's happening and let you be in the driver's seat, I'm happy to let you go. But again, it's a process and there's plenty of things that come up that challenge a woman. And I mean, it's really just preparing you for what you're about to go through as a parent. So why not take the support before the child is out? And that adds another factor to handle. So there's a lot to do and the sooner the better. But if you are only hearing about acupuncture for labor encouragement, I recommend at least 36 weeks. At 36 weeks and plan on coming in at least weekly. So it's not, we aren't forcing babies out. We joke sometimes that it's an eviction, but it's this gentle nudge of opening and allowing and just soft suggestions, not forceful medical intervention.
And with all this said, if your body needs some encouragement in order to get into labor and you're past 36 weeks, please don't hesitate to reach out to your acupuncture physician or doctor of oriental medicine, because it can help. But ideally, again, as Amy so beautifully put it, having that support throughout your pregnancy makes a huge difference. And that support can continue once your baby is here. So please, Amy, can you address how you would be able to help someone postpartum, maybe if they're struggling with postpartum depression or have a low milk supply? Are there things that you can do to help mitigate all of that?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of this, and this is one of the shortcomings that I really struggle with, because there's not enough resources for women after they've given birth. And this is very much a cultural thing. So most Asian women have the support of a mother, a mother-in-law, whoever, some wise woman who's there supporting. So quite literally, all the mother has to do is feed the baby and recover. And the recovery is seen as a much longer process than the 6 weeks that we really give people here. And we really don't give them full 6 weeks. That's just, you know, what they by law have to have for their job. But when they come in, I wish that there were more people, including the availability in my own schedule, where I could just step out and meet these people in their homes, because I think it's what they really need. But that being said, when they come into my office, I can help them with their moods. Oftentimes there's been blood loss during birth. That is a huge indicator of a woman's ability to think clearly and deal with the demands on her body. I mean, people know anemia is a serious medical condition. Well, we look at that in a broader context in Chinese medicine. In terms of breastfeeding, again, there's really great lactation consultants, but that's usually when a woman has just given birth in a hospital and she's probably not all with it when she's getting this valuable information. And I don't know that it's really articulated how hard it is to breastfeed. It takes time. And if you're trying to do this in between all the other things you're trying to do in your life, bounce right back as people think that you can after giving birth. It's complicated. So I think that just kind of being there and letting them know, yes, it does take time. Yes, it is hard. Yes, it can be painful. And here's some things that you can do to help yourself through that. Even, you know, mastitis and things like that, where there's complications because of breastfeeding, we can definitely help and be that sort of wise woman, if you will, to help them navigate that space.
And have you found that it can help if someone is struggling with postpartum depression, that it would be a good adjunct to seeing perhaps a therapist or doing some mindful practices, that type of thing?
Yes, absolutely. I think, unfortunately, there's not a lot of support for women. So even if they do have postpartum depression, I don't know that they really get in the hands of a skilled therapist soon enough. But I do think that if there's a major red flag in terms of them looking seriously not well, their acupuncturist, and especially in the state of Florida, we're designated as primary care physicians. It is our duty and obligation to refer them to a skilled therapist. They will get that referral. But sometimes just nurturing them alone with some good blood fortification with herbs, and I know you do the placenta encapsulation, that's a great way to replenish a woman after she's given birth.
So I have one last question for you, Amy. If you could share one bit of knowledge with our birthies families, what would you like to share?
I would prepare for pregnancy the way you would prepare for a marathon. You would not step up to run the race, not having done any training, having eaten a sloppy meal. You wouldn't show up for that without being prepared. And I think that if you start looking at preparing your mind and your body, you can really have a transformational experience that is going to prepare you for parenting and being the person you want to be when you step into that maternal role.
Once again, very, very wise words. Thank you, Amy, for spending this time with me and our birthies families. And I would really appreciate it if we could delve deeper into these different aspects of pregnancy and postpartum at another time. If someone would like to reach out to you, how could they do that?
Sure. It's been my pleasure to talk with you. If people want to find me, they can go to my website, which is just my name. It's amygendron.com. And I work at multiple offices throughout Central Florida. So best bet is just reach out to me via the website and I'll direct you to the one that makes the most sense for your location.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends and rate and recommend it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, this will be your baby's only birth, and the experience belongs to you and your baby. It's not your friends. It's not your parents. It's not your siblings, nor your midwives or doctors. Do your research. Find your inner wisdom and learn to trust it. You already know your baby better than anyone. There's no right way to give birth. There's simply the way that feels best for you.
For more great conversations like these, or to find out more information and access Michelle's library of amazing guests, go to birththeseservices.com/podcast. For more information on the Birthese method, Michelle's classes, meditations, and other services, go to birththeservices.com.